You choose to speak during today's call, that you will be recorded. So I was just reminding everyone that we're doing this for the labeling of the recording. This is the informational session on the new fellowship group voting process. And thank you all for coming. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm Sue V, grateful and hopeful adult child. And the purpose today is we're here to provide information and answer questions on a new fellowship group voting process for the groups that can be initiated by delegates at a conference. We're not going to be going into specific details of any actual votes in this session. We have a follow-up informational session next weekend to talk about how best to prepare your groups for the voting. But this will be more on process today. For meeting support, we have your chairs for today. Ken R, if you just want to wave to everyone. Kaz S. And of course, myself. Our tech host is Mary Jo, if there are any technical difficulties. Point of safety for this session is Brad L. So if at any point you're feeling uncomfortable, please chat with him and we'll take it from there. Timekeepers for this session is Ken, and Marty is for individual sessions. And we'll talk about how much time when we do question and answer. And I would just ask everyone to be re really respectful of the time so that everyone has a chance to ask questions and share. So while we're getting ready, all of our participants, welcome. And if you can, please add to the Zoom chat if you have your WSO registration group number, or just say that you are part of that. If a delegate, we'd love to hear that you're a delegate if you are. And of course, your first name, your country, state, or province. The next part of this session is going to be the fellowship group vote process presentation. So I'm just going to stop sharing here. And know that you can have a transcript here as well. So if you all should know from a Zoom perspective that you can all open your transcripts and save it if you'd like to do that. And for those that speak multiple languages, if you want it in a specific language, you can do that too these days under captions. So I'll let you go ahead. If you have any technical issues with that, just ask Brad L. And let me just go and get our presentation. Alrighty, so this is the fellowship group voting process information session. And for this, we thought it would be really helpful to ground us. So we're all very familiar with steps, and our steps are for our own individual personal recovery. Traditions, we're familiar with that with all of our groups, meeting groups, and intergroups and regions. It's there for our personal recovery and for members when working together in service. Concepts, some of you may not be very familiar with that, but think about concepts are for personal recovery and for the groups working together in world service. So we thought that might be really helpful for grounding. And on page 615 in the BRB, we have a quote. The 12 concepts keep our world services and groups focused on carrying a consistent ACA message. So beautiful. So what is a fellowship group vote? Well, this is a vote across all registered meetings, intergroups, and regions that was initiated, and remember that was initiated by a conference, ABC approved motion. So delegates voted on a motion. They said, we really want all the groups to have a vote on this. And remember that in our annual business conference and quarterly delegate meetings, we have a little less than 5% of all groups coming in with delegates. So that's a significant number of groups that aren't present. So just as concept one guides us, the final responsibility and the ultimate authority for ACA World Services should always reside in the collective conscience of our whole fellowship. So this is what fellowship group voting is all about, because we understand that some groups always their priority is to the adult child in caring ACA recovery. Not everyone, all groups can provide a delegate. So here's our opportunity to ensure we're being really inclusive. I'm going to pass this over now to Ken and go ahead, Ken, for the next couple of slides.
Thank you, Sue. This slide is, why do we need fellowship group vote process? Our delegates at the 2024 ABC recognize that the matter of changing the fellowship's name required fellowship-wide voting. This was because there are certain matters that may fundamentally impact the future of ACA and therefore will benefit from a comprehensive fellowship vote. The name change is just the first one. There may be other items that will need to go beyond the conference and directly to the fellowship for review, approval. For example, approval of the conference charter or any updates to foundational documents such as tradition steps and concepts. The fellowship group vote process. The board is responsible to follow through on motions passed by the delegates. Prior to December 2024, ACA had no approved process to conduct a fellowship vote, so the board worked with the ABC committees, other 12-step world services, and our delegates, and drafted a proposed process that was presented. All of us are working together to create a fellowship process, and this is the beginning of the journey, or our journey.
Thank you, Ken. And Cos, would you like to continue?
Sure thing. So, what is a fellowship group vote? Again, as we really said, it's a vote across all registered meetings, intergroups, and regions. Each of them have a vote. And it was initiated by a conference-approved motion, both to create this process and to send the first topic out for the group vote. The process is what we'll be discussing today. And once again, oops, now I'm reading on the wrong slide here. Pardon me. The delegates at that meeting approved the voting process, and they did so by a vote of almost 80%, well over 79%. That was 42 out of 53 votes. Again, as Sue noted, that doesn't represent a ton of groups. And so it was clear that the delegates, however, wanted to hear from all the groups. Then in February, at the QDM that month, that quarter, a minority opinion was heard on the voting process, and no one requested a revote. So no revote was taken, and the original vote from December stayed in place. And next slide.
Thanks. And with the minority opinion, it's important to know, as Cos said, a revote wasn't required. It usually will take, I think, 40% of the group to say, yeah, we want a revote. So it's really important to remember that. Okay. Go ahead, Cos.
Sure thing. Okay, the process that was approved. First, it requires that the ABC, the Annual Business Conference, direct the board to conduct a fellowship group vote. Once that is done and voted on and approved by the conference delegates, then WSO will create a dedicated web page with information on the process and instructions on how the vote will be created and sent out to all of the groups. Once again, each group has one vote. That's group and intergroup and region. And they each get a unique link. And I'll reach or discuss that again in a second. The groups will be given a minimum of 4 months to vote. And it may seem like a long time, but not everybody has frequent business meetings. And also, some issues will just require a lot of discussion for the group to reach a decision on how they wish to vote. Again, as said, each group will have its own unique link. And so when they vote, they will be able to cast a vote for approve, not approve, or abstain, and a place in which to state their reasons for why they voted any of those ways. Don't have to state them, but we're encouraging folks so that we have some ideas of why the votes were cast the way they were. Substantial unanimity in the vote will be two-thirds, greater than two-thirds of those voting is needed to pass. Then the results of that vote will be posted within 2 weeks after the voting closes. Then they'll also be emailed to all the groups. And the results and any next steps will be discussed at the very next business meeting, which is either an ABC or a QDM, quarterly delegate meeting. Now, if we discover that this process is not as smooth or efficient as it ought to be, revisions can be considered, but they will only be made with conference approval. The conference delegates will vote on any potential revisions, but no revision will be made in the middle of this particular vote. So this is our experiment, first time through. Okay, pass. Next slide. So what are the next steps immediately? After this weekend and its two town halls on the group voting process, next weekend there will be two town halls on the actual subject or substance of this first fellowship group vote. And that is the name study for changing the public-facing official name of ACA, potentially. And then the step after that is a recap of the process at the ABC, because no date has been set yet for when the fellowship group voting will start. It's probably going to be this summer, but it'll be after the ABC. So there'll be another opportunity to discuss the process then. And so more information is already on the adult children website. There's a link down there, and we will, after I ask for questions for our discussion, we'll get a quick taste of what that looks like. And so, Sue, can you share that particular website?
I'll go there, Cos. And I'm clicking on it. And if Brad L. could put the link in the chat so that everybody could have it as well. And you can see the fellowship group voting page. And when you look at conference convention, you'll see the annual quarterly conference. And then the second, you'll see fellowship group voting. And there's a whole page dedicated to this. And I'll just scroll down. And what is fellowship group voting? We're talking about it. Why it's important. We're talking about why. What are the groups voting on? We'll talk more about what do the groups need to know in order to cast a vote. And we'll do that next weekend on the substance. Who is voting? Registered groups. We have some key dates that we will continue to update as more is confirmed. We have an email. If Brad L. could put that in the chat as well. You can email us if something you're thinking of a question after the session. And we have sections called Fellowship Group Voting Process Agenda, which is what you're saw today, and the PowerPoint that you just are seeing. And then we have all sorts of sections for you to look at. What happened at the February QDM when we discussed it, as you heard? What happened when we discussed it in December? How did we develop the group voting process? And inf more information about the vote itself later, which is the name study. And we put in frequently asked questions, and some of that you'll be talking to us today. We'll answer, but know that you have this rich resource. As Kaz is saying, that this is the first time we're doing this. We are taking the advice from everyone and guidelines. So if you think we're missing something that's important in that on that page, then please let us know. We're very open to making sure that all the information is known for the votes to make an informed discussion and an informed group vote. I'll just bring back the agenda, Kaz.
And at this point, we are going to have the agenda on the screen, but it's time for questions and answers. So again, the topic today is the process itself, not the substance. We'll address the substance next weekend. Folks will have a minute for asking their question, and answers will be provided within a 2-minute window. And so folks beginning to raise their hand now, and everybody else who has a question, please raise your hand electronically in the Zoom. Right now, the first question is coming from Amber.
Okay, and just a reminder, Marty is doing the individual timekeeping. So go
Marty
ready.
isn't here,
Oh, Marty isn't
and
here.
Brad will do the timing for
Thank
now.
you, Brad. Brad will do the timing. Thank you for the correction, Mary Jo.
Doing
And
triple duty today.
yeah, thanks, everybody.
Okay, Amber, please go ahead.
Thank you. I have a question about the denominator for determining the majority, or I'm sorry, substantial unanimity, which I guess would be 66.7%.
Yes.
How are groups that don't participate at all counted, or are they not counted in the denominator? Are we only counting groups that give some sort of vote? Thanks.
Only counting groups that vote one way or the other. Even abstentions are not counting, as I understand it.
Correct.
Yeah, so the count will be yes plus no. And we will be watching to see how many groups are actually participating, and we'll be bringing those results to the delegates.
Okay, the next question, please.
Sweden has their hand up.
Oh.
Joachim, it's a question that belongs with the other one, so I'll just keep on. When our group, we got curious about how other programs did, and we looked at the oldest at AA, and we saw that they took, I think they had 75% of all groups, whether they voted or not, which means that practically they're so big that you can never change anything because you're never going to get 75%. So I can understand why we do, but how did you land in doing it this way? What was
Sue, maybe you want to speak to that.
Yeah, I would say that right now what we have is the significant unanimity, two-thirds in the BRB. So that's what we have. And so that's the number. We can't make up another number. That's the number we have. But that can be changed by the conference itself if they so choose. I would say we checked with another 12 step, and they had 70% participation amongst their groups. However, they failed to get significant unanimity.
I think what our question was actually not the percentage, but the difference between the groups that vote or all groups.
Yes, yeah, that would be a good thing to explain, the process, Sue, for why we picked this particular structure, as opposed to not so much the number, as Joaquin said, but the particular structure of not including abstentions and non-voting groups in the number.
I would say this, and I would ask Mary Jo to comment on it. We're following the process that was used with the ballot process. When the groups vote for proposals to be added to the agenda, that's the only guideline that we had. And so their guideline is yes plus no. Abstentions don't count. And I believe in the ballots, we only have about 8% of the groups that are actually voting on those proposals as well. So your question is a great question. And we will be bringing, remember, this is, we're evolving this, progress, not perfection. So we're going to not make assumptions. We're not going to make decisions on behalf of our group. We're going to bring it to the conference. Here is what we know. Here are the results of what we know. And then we'll move forward from that. So, excellent question. And I hope I was able to answer it. And Mary Jo, I don't know if you want to add to that.
Well, my clarifying question or whatever is, the numerator will reflect the number of groups that voted yes, but the denominator will reflect all eligible groups, correct?
It's the total number of groups that voted.
Okay, so how do we know we have 67%? Well,
it's in the substantial unanimity is 66.7% of those who voted.
So if we have to say, for instance, we have 2,000 meeting or groups, 2,000 groups, okay. And only 200 vote. It's 66.7% of those that vote.
Yeah, I would say to you, what we have said is that we're going to do this. We're going to be transparent about all of the numbers. And when we get the results, we're going to bring it back to the delegates who asked for this vote to happen. And if it turns out that only 1% of all of the groups are voting, that's a concern.
Again, as this is an experiment and we'll make changes or propose changes, I should say, propose changes as we go along and discover. It may be that it is more appropriate to do something different from the ballot proposal process. But as Sue said, that was the model we followed because that was the model that was already established inside ACA. Let's get another, here we go. Norm from the Philippines and Spain has his hand up.
Yeah, I do. This is driving me a little crazy personally because I'm an engineer by trade and it statistically just doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to try to indulge. One thing that I know with the Marijuana Anonymous Group was they did the same thing in 2021, wherein there was actually a number of ballots sent out to meeting groups. And that was actually the population base. And the respondents, whether or not it's abstain, approve or not, were actually the respondents of that particular population, where that had to be a 75% unanimity to be able to pass it. And it didn't pass that muster. Mm-hmm. What concerns me with our group is that I run 7 groups and none of the fellowship in these groups are oriented towards the ballot process. I'm sorry, I'm gonna finish up.
Yes, please.
So the best we can do is to abstain. But we also know that abstention, according to what was just explained, will be null and voided. So what is that voice meaning then to the fellowship? Is my question.
Yeah, I will only say this from my perspective as having some familiarity with process inside meeting groups. It is not, if one is abstaining from a vote in any kind of a group, it is rare to count an abstention as a vote because no position is being taken. So that's not to reject consideration of doing it a different way in the future, but for this particular vote, and having been the process that is followed for deciding whether or not a particular ballot proposal will get included on an agenda for discussion and delegate vote. That's the process that was picked. And it is quite correct to say, hey, others do it differently. And we very well should strongly consider making that change. Whether it gets accepted is up to the delegates doing a vote.
Yeah. Cause I would add that one of the things, Marijuana Anonymous just recently finished doing a fellowship group vote and theirs didn't pass. One of the things they said to us they learned was when it didn't pass, they didn't know why. And they suggested it would be helpful to have our group say, yes, I'm voting because of this. No, I'm not voting because of this. And I would say abstaining, I'm abstaining because of this, because that rich data will go back to the delegates so they will understand what happened on this process as they review whatever changes that they might want to have with it.
Okay, are there any other hands? I'm not seeing any at the moment.
Yeah, if people could raise their digital hands instead of their physical hands, that'll break up the top.
I don't know how to do that. I've been trying to find it. I don't know how to do it.
Okay. And my apologies, I don't see everyone who is on the screen. So,
okay, so you walked in. Had it. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know how to raise the hand digitally. So I've been trying to find it for the past 10 minutes. That's just with the question about if we're using the groups that have voted or all groups. When we asked AA, this was a big nice discussion in our local group. Two very different ways of looking at it. They explained to us at AA that they took out certain parts, for example, the traditions and the steps. And that's the parts that where they had the 75% of all groups, not only the voting. And that was a way to make sure that they would never change. So they were also aware of warning for don't put all major group votes in the same way, because you're never going to be able to change anything. But then you had to specify certain, making different world votes for different questions. But you're probably aware of that. Changing the name, I suppose, is good to having at least a possibility to do it. So that was just that. Thank you.
Okay, switch my view to gallery view. So I get some screens, but even not all screens. And, but if you can raise your electronic hand, I can see that. Any further questions? Ken.
Yeah, guys, I don't have a question, but I think it's fair to say, based on the discussions that we've been having and certainly some of the discussion last evening, that a number of questions have come up. Some basic questions that we frankly hadn't thought of. What is a group? What about people that, don't necessarily are registered? If you have a group of two people, are they the same as a group of 200? And those are all good, valid questions that the conference has to look at and give some direction of how they want to be addressing those. These are good, these are good foundational blocks that we're all looking at, and really encourage everybody. Just like last night, had great comments and didn't have a lot of answers, but that's okay, because it'll help us develop a better program. This is a delegate driven process. So what are the things that are important to the delegates, and how can we provide that information? So, and again, I've heard people talk about, the size of the group, the amount of dues that are paid. I mean, it can go in lots of different directions, and it's just what the group wants to do. And we need direction. You know, that's why we're here. So my apologies, but I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. I would say, while we're waiting for any hands, page 595 of your BRB, and there's a section called Group Voting and Substantial Unanimity, the 12th concept. And we do put that on the Fellowship Group Voting webpage for you. It would be really helpful for you to read that, because it's a really nice guidance about how to get group conscience. And if it's difficult to get group conscience with the group, you have 4 months. You can take your time. You don't, if there's no emergency, you know, or addiction to excitement, we have to get the job done. No, we've got lots of time to be thoughtful about it and have healthy conversation in our groups about it.
Just one thing that came up last night was, well, what happens if you have a closely divided vote in your group? Let's say you have 10 people and 5 vote each way, or 6 vote one way and 4 vote the other way. Those are probably not substantial unanimity and probably require additional thought and discussion. So come, delay it, come back to at another meeting and address the issue again, so that in fact the group is more assured. It'll never be perfectly assured, but more assured that there is substantial unanimity, and it's not just a strict 50% plus one vote. And let's see, Mary Jo.
It is okay. So we're not after getting a vote, yes, no, or abstain from a certain percentage of groups. Is that correct? So we don't want to hear from, say, 75% of all groups.
Well, that would be nice and lovely, but
have no threshold.
Yeah, that is correct. There is no bottom line threshold, and maybe there should be.
Well, and I would say, Mary Jo, you know that right now there are only
I know the participation rate we get.
Yeah,
but this I'm just thinking that this is a different type of vote than the ballots.
I'm aware of 2 other 12 steps that have been doing this recently. It's not like you do it all the time, right? So in the last few years. One had 70% participation rate from all their groups. That's a dream. I hope we could get there. Another one only had 9% of participation of their groups. So I think information is knowledge, and that will help us help the delegates actually to make decisions instead of having an arbitrary number. And maybe they'll decide, the delegates themselves, we need 75% of all groups participating. And to the point that Joaquin has said, that maybe that means that nothing will ever get passed, because I don't know how reasonable it is to have a 75% participation rate. But these are great questions, not decisions for us.
Amber and then Norm.
Norm can go before me because I've spoken already.
Okay, well. So
I have
to,
Amber. I have spoken.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I have a question about, do we have any information about the service structure of those 2 fellowships that were just cited, the one that had over 75% participation and the one that had 9% participation? Do they have like a, you know, direct democracy structure like we have, where every group is expected to send a delegate? Or are they more like Narcotics Anonymous, where they send each group sends somebody to area, who sends somebody to region, who sends somebody to world?
They're smaller like us. They're not, it wasn't the top 3, AA, Al-Anon, and Narcotics Anonymous. I heard from Marijuana Anonymous. I heard from Cocaine Anonymous. So they're very similar.
Okay. And then if that answers, then see, where did your picture go? Norm, there you go. There's your hand. Sorry.
Thanks a lot, Kaz. Amber, just to reflect on that, there were 432 ballots on the Marijuana Anonymous group, and 341 were returned out of those 432 ballots. So it wasn't voluminous, but it was indicative of how their structure voted. I just have one reflection on this, which is, when groups vote, I'm just curious why, for instance, the ballots did not go to the secretaries of the groups, because they are listed in our online listing of meetings. I did not receive that personally. I got a global message that said, this is what we're voting on, because I think that would give you an active count of how many groups are actually actively holding membership. And if those ballots went out to the secretaries and those secretaries had returned a message as, let's say, for instance, ballots received, that would have been an indicator as well of how the response measure of this particular initiative would be. I think that's more quantifiable than, I think, looking at it from the standpoint of a global messaging that doesn't have accountability for responses. That's just my comment on that.
It's a good comment. Thank you very much. And it's something that we should consider doing the next time around. And there will be a next time. It's not so much next time. It's almost certain. Now, we can't guarantee it because it has to be decided by the delegates. But there are other issues. For instance, the question came up, well, what's, you know, how does how do the various service structures compare? And that's part of a issue dealing with the charter. And we're one of the few 12-step programs that does not have a charter. So that's an ongoing discussion in the effort to create a charter. And I would absolutely advocate that a charter needs to go to fellowship group voting. There is a proposal that will be presented at the coming ABC for a change to the concept number 2. And I very much advocate that also go out for fellowship group voting. I don't have any control over that, but that is my recommendation. And part of those things, part of what we're getting back, such as the discussion today, will inform any proposed changes in the fellowship group voting process that will be considered before those things are voted on, because they're definitely not going to be voted on immediately. There's a lot of work to do in both areas. All right. I don't want to spend.
I wanted to respond to Norm. Norm, I understood your question to be why don't we send to the secretaries of the group? Do I have that right?
It just grabs a better population base than this global dissemination.
Yeah. Just to let you know, when we send this stuff out, we send it to the group contacts. Every group that's registered with the WSO has 3 group contacts. They can choose who their group contacts are. So they're absolutely welcome to choose the secretary of the group, but of course every group is autonomous and they don't have to choose the secretary of the group. When we announce really important things like that, we send to all 3 of the group contacts. Plus we use every possible way to publicize these town halls, as well as ABCs, and as well as the fellowship group voting, which will be our 2 websites, our new newsletter, The Traveler. There will probably be blog articles about it. So I just wanted to give some clarity on the process we use. We encourage the secretaries and anybody else to that they want to register as that's their job is to disseminate it to the group.
Okay. Are there any other questions?
Joachim, did you have another question? You had your hand raised before.
I did, Mayor Joe. Is it me you're addressing?
No.
But do you have another question?
I do, just as a follow-up to Brad. Yeah, I understood that, Brad, that you did send those to the points of contact. My next question was, and what I had said was there enough return? Like, a better measure would have been, have you received this ballot, yes or no? And so you would have at least known that that secretary had seen that ballot. Because the problem we have is that you do send those to the points of contact, but it kind of goes into the ether. There's no responsibility for a response. So the only thing I'm saying is a better population statistically would have been if you sent out this information to the points of contact, that it necessitated a response back. That would have been a better base point of where your population is from. Thanks.
Thank you, Norm. That's an excellent suggestion, and we'll take it in consideration for moving forward.
Thanks, Norm.
Joachim.
So I can see the discussion in my my home group about have to giving her an answer that we've seen the mail and the control and the authority fear and everything. But I realize when I'm saying it out loud, I'll take the discussion. So that's easy. Yeah,
and it is possible that all is necessary is to have like with some emails, you know, it was sent, and you can electronically find out if it's been open, and therefore assume it's been read. But is that a good enough thing? That's not telling people what to do. But on the other hand, it's not necessarily telling you that they actually did read it. They just got it and opened it. So that's a lot of discussion needs to be had.
Yeah. Thanks for that point. We certainly have, when we send out mails, we have open statistics, but some mail programs would just mark everything opened. So they're not 100% reliable. But, you know, I think... as part of IT, we can explore. I certainly wouldn't want anyone to have to reply when you get like 6,000, potentially 6,000 responses in their inbox. Not that everybody would do that, but there's an opportunity to have a button or a link that they could click that would be an intention. And that could be tracked. And I love tech ideas. The IT team loves tech ideas that we can do it. And we can explore this and see what we can make of it. Thank you.
Another call for any questions.
Or suggestions.
Well, I will go ahead then and say, at least as far as I can tell, we've done getting questions.
All righty. And not to forget, we'll put it in the email, fgv@acawso.org, if you think of something after. And also, Brad, if you can put the link in for the website again so that people can dive in and read when they have the time. And next up is Ken R., who would like to say some words to us all.
Thank you. So, you know, as we have these discussions, it's very, not only are they informative, to me, it's very indicative of the direction we're trying to take as an organization to become delegate-driven. And in doing that, we have to have these discussions where we talk and listen and hear the comments. And we have to create an environment where we can begin to make some of these changes? Because we've heard the delegates loud and clear that they want to be involved in the fellowship. They want to be able to make fellowship decisions. And so we're in that transition period. Kaz mentions it, that it's an experiment. To me, this is, we're trying different things. And we're trying to stay out of the, I think we've all heard in program, we're all adult children, that, perfection is enemy of good enough. And we're trying to find a process that's good enough that can be moving forward. But we know it's not perfect. And your comments, your participation, the folks last night, the folks next weekend, it's so helpful to us to get those unfiltered views of the things that are important. Because, don't think we know everything. We don't. And that's probably one of our strengths, is because we know we don't know, so we need to ask. So that's why we're here. For me, this process, I joined the board last year. And, when we came out of the last May's ABC, we had this approved motion saying we want to vote on this process. Well, we didn't have a process. So we had to talk internally. We had to talk to fellow delegates. We had to talk to other 12-step programs and somewhat come up with an outline and said, okay, here's something that we think is going to work. We took it to the committees. We took it to people on East Coast and West Coast. And, this is Rev 1 that we're trying to go forward. You're helping to make Rev 2 and Rev 3. And, this is your program. So help us. Also, I would like to thank you. People, 10 o'clock last night or 9 o'clock this morning on a weekend. But it's so, it's so informative to be able to get folks together and to hear the concerns and to hear them articulate their view for their group. Because each group is autonomous and each group has their own needs that we need to understand what they are to try to help them. So again, thank you. Thank you very much for participating. And to me, it's exciting to think about where we're going as an organization and where we're going to be in 3 or 5 years. Some folks have asked us to slow down. And I'm sure there's some people going to want us to speed up. But that's the nature of being human. I love my friends in AA on page 67 in the Blue Book says the world and its people are often flawed. We want everything and we want everything now. but we all understand the foibles of that. But again, thank you. This has been very helpful, very informative. As we move into closing, next week we'll be doing this again, 9 p.m. on Saturday, 9 p.m. on Sunday. But our focus there will be more on the name change, more on the name change motion that we're addressing. And certainly, and it's been commented before, there's some great materials available. The IT folks have done a very good job of putting additional information on the website, on the fellowship group voting site. At the bottom of the agenda, we list the resources that are available. And, if you want to have more information on the name study, there's a whole bank of files that's available. There's information about being a delegate and how to register. In fact, I think Monday, probably by the end of the day, Monday, we're going to open registration for the ABC. Is that correct, Brad? Yes. Okay. So that's going to be coming. But again, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your participation. And I want to thank you for your patience. This is not easy stuff. But the great thing about it is that, we're doing it together. thing I find encouraging is that, nobody left. There's no, we don't need to be, muting the microphones, or nobody's throwing things. We're adulting here. And that's not easy for adult children. At least I'll speak for myself. Growing up the way I did, you didn't necessarily cooperate. but with that I'll pass. But again, I just want to thank you very much for making this a special day. So, Sue?
Thank you so much, Ken. And I often say we're the first generation of the loving parent with our guidebook. And it is getting better and better, at least for me in my recovery. So I'm just going to just show you we're ahead of time, which is lovely. And as Ken said, we're finished the sessions on the process, but we'll still answer questions next weekend on that if something comes up. Next weekend, we'll be talking about the fellowship name change, and really not about what name and how did it come, but basically what's all the information that you need to know and your groups need to know about how that was developed, and what the motion actually said. And we'll take those questions so that you're feeling very informed to help your groups. And you can see the times, 9 p.m. Eastern on Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern on Sunday. We're trying to reach the whole world. So we hope these times are good. And if they're not, please let us know. We're open to suggestions in the future. And a reminder, as Ken said, your groups, we would like to see more delegates at the annual business conference, and or as we are starting to call business meetings, world business meetings. And that registration will open up on the end of day Monday on March 24th, but it will go to May the 12th. So it'll close then. So you've got lots of time to have discussions with your group and get the elections going for you to become a delegate or someone else to become a delegate. And we've put some resource links on the agenda as well. And you can see fellowship group voting. There's additional name study information. There's registering as a delegate link and some other information that you might want to know about conference and about service websites. So if there are no further questions, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn. But are there any questions from the floor before I do that?
I do. I just have a note here, if that's okay, Sue. Mm-hmm. I haven't read from any of the materials the financial impact on changing the name. I know there was an initial comment before on what it would be to the fellowship, what the impact would be. But what is it? Is there an answer to, like, not only the negative impact, but is there a positive impact to the name change financially?
Yeah, we can take that question next weekend, Norm. I believe the name study did research the financial impacts. I'm not sure if there was a positive impact or not, but we'll go back and look at that, and we'll take that next weekend. And thank you. Very good question. Any other questions from anyone else? Okay, I'm going to ask for a motion to adjourn. Everybody wants
to move for the meeting to adjourn.
I got a few flurries. Okay. I'm going to ask who would like to lead us out with the ACA Serenity Prayer.
I can. All right, everyone. Take a deep breath and let's start the prayer. Higher power. Higher power. The serenity to accept the people I cannot change. The courage to change the ones I can. And the wisdom to know that one is me. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Norm.
Everyone, so much for coming out on the weekend, and have a good rest of your day, evening, morning. And hopefully we'll see you next weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.